I'm Susan,
And I'm Annie.
and this is two
Two friends,
friends, one
one
chat.
ooh,
Okay.
that
It's like dark outside here still, so it felt like kind
was
of like, ooh.
good. Ooh, I
Although
like
that felt more of like a nighttime dark tone, but hey, we'll take it.
hey, we'll take it. Oh, well, how are you doing today?
I am doing all right, enjoying some kind of down, quiet, more quiet time.
Nice.
Things have been crazy busy.
Yeah.
So this kind of like we're on Thanksgiving kind of break right now while we're recording this. I don't know about, when you guys are listening, but it's kind of that forced, you have to take time off of work,
I
which is
see.
good. I think it's good for me.
I could definitely see that. I love that your work has to force you to take time off of work.
Yeah. Well, sorry. I'm getting better. For those
Okay.
of you that knew me before, I really have done so much work
Good.
on better work boundaries. I truly don't like work nights or weekends unless there's like an event.
Yeah.
But like I'm not checking my phone or doing notes or anything like that, which is huge for me because I used to. So
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
I am super proud of you. And
Hey. There's room to get better.
I just want to see you take more time off. Of course, I'm saying that, as I'm in the transition time of moving on from my work with the state of Washington and doing some interviewing, but I am currently not working. And it was a tremendously difficult experience for the first like 2 weeks when it got, just didn't I didn't do well. Like I was just kind of a mess. And so, but now I'm kind of really starting to get into that groove where I am feeling relaxation. And that's a really crazy experience. So I'm hopeful for that for you because one, it was kind of a mess to get there. And it was, my brain was firing on all cylinders, just looking for something to stress about. I mean, all the listeners know I have gone through a tremendous amount of life changes too, pretty quickly. So I know that that like plays a part as well. But it's so interesting to know what's happening logically. Like I could easily logically step out of my body and be like, I know what's going on, but inside my mind was such a struggle to like, like it is a really dysregulating and it's truly a frustrating feeling, but now I'm kind of on the other side of it where I'm like, oh, relaxing is great.
Is good.
It
It's so, because I logically know that too, and it definitely is something I'm thinking about and paying attention to. With the switch to the new director position, I'm still not feeling super like comfortable or good at this yet. But I mean, it hasn't been that long, so I truly am hoping that once I'm feeling a little more settled in the position itself,
Yeah.
that maybe I can get back to that. Hey, I really can take time off like I used to. So we're getting there. I think I'm not worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. But time off is so important.
It is.
And I want to, I think as now that I've stepped into this kind of management role, that's the other piece I'm starting to think about is how do I set this job up for the people that work for me so that they can feel like they can take more time off and use
Yeah.
the PTO. And I'm trying to think of it from the other, not, I love my job and I love the people I work for, and our work is hard and
Yeah.
no one's telling you to work all the time. But if I can make things shift or change or help people set better boundaries, I want to. So we'll get there.
I really love that vision because it will come like from the top down and you're like the top now. And I think that's a really good point. I almost think sometimes in social service too, the times it, people in social service, and oh, this definitely goes out to all my social servants out there, we don't get into this field because we want an easy job. We want to support people. And it can feel like a true ethical dilemma to turn that off because, we see it because of how our society's built with a lack of systems, lack of natural supports. There's just a really big struggle there that if we're not doing it, no one else is. And that is a very hard place to be to turn that off. And especially, I can't even imagine in your field because the time that you have to influence and support a family with ALS is limited. It is a limited time clock. So that is an extra challenge on being able to like turn it off, and that'll be a fun thing, I think, to track for listeners, how you kind of can shift that culture, because that's going to be no small task by any means.
Stay tuned. I have got pages and pages of ideas and thoughts and things I
Yes,
want to
you
do
do.
and try. And so I think our fiscal year starts in February. So that's kind of, I feel like, okay, I've got enough 8, 9 months now under my belt. I feel like now I've have enough that I can like really start in our new fiscal year trying things. So we'll see.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Get ready. Get ready.
I love that you have a notebook of ideas too. That is awesome.
I have I do there's like a Post-it app for your computer. So
Oh
I've
yeah.
got
Oh yeah.
Post-its on Post-its on Post-its. I love it.
Yes, you do. I love that. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, they're so lucky to have you. You're gonna rock that culture. Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I know it's gonna happen.
All of this to be said, though. This
Yeah.
kind of leads into our topic for today. Believe it or not.
I was actually thinking that too, because I basically just ex like my check-in was literally describing tackling the beast that is anxiety. Like, and that's what we're here to talk about today.
You got depression last time, you're getting anxiety this time. They are friends.
Oh, aren't they though? Maybe too close of friends? Maybe too close.
I truly feel like for me, everyone's going to be different,
Yeah.
that depression and anxiety are like a teeter-totter for me. And it's like,
Oh.
okay, wait, and I'm good enough now at knowing like which is which, like I can,
Yeah.
based on how I'm feeling, I can pretty quickly figure out like, oh, I'm in a depressive cycle right now. Here's what
Okay.
I need to do to get out of it. Or, oh, this is anxiety right now. And you're
Yeah.
definitely back in an anxiety cycle right now, which
Okay.
is great. But I do feel like, I mean, obviously there's times that they're balanced and I'm doing
Yeah.
well, but it does feel like it's always going to be one or the other trying to tip the table for me.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. So in that, like, I love that visualization. So would you consider like the center of the teeter-totter, like your healthy point? And it like, okay, I love that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. When everyone's just straight, like we're doing okay. I've got both of
Love
you in
it.
check. No one's taken more than what they deserve and everything's kind of status quo.
Love
Got
it.
'cause we're always gonna have a little depression and anxiety stuff, right? We're people.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, I've never seen one, but maybe it's like a six-way teeter-totter, right? And all the emotions are on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would be
Yeah.
kind of cool. Do you think they make those? Like they're all connected in the center?
I was kind of, that reminds me of like the child's toy from like the 90s, where it was like a ball in the middle and then like a little like, it was like a hard circle on the outside, and it was to teach balance. And I think they still use them in like working out stuff, but that's what that reminds me of. And I don't know. I like that visualization a lot though. And I'm sure that the other exists, but I think there is so much to be said for how we visualize our own internal mental health, you know? So I love that. I love that like concept of like you have depression and anxiety and you're in the middle. I think for myself, I've mentioned this a little bit, but my visualization is really, I used to think that depression caused my anxiety. And so I was working really hard to like treat my depression first. And it turns out I am not actually super depressed. I really have not struggled really with depression. It is, boy, it's my anxiety is so much bigger of a beast in my life. And so I don't see it as a teeter-totter. I more see it as like kind of like the mental health measures of like anxiety is sort of this beast that I live with, much like Inside Out 2, where you've got the anxiety beast, which by the way, amazing.
She's so cute and adorable and just wants to help, and it's a disaster. If you haven't
Okay.
seen it, go see it.
Please go see it, you guys. It can be a tool in your tool belt for reals. But I will say I saw a really great Instagram post. Well, it was probably a TikTok first, but again, I don't have TikTok. I'm so old. But it was like other people's anxiety, and it shows the character from Inside Out, right? And then it's like my anxiety, and then it shows Pepe from the Muppets. Do you know Pepe?
Is he the
He's like the little, I think he's a king prawn. He's like, I'm not a shrimp. I'm a king prawn. Oh my gosh. I laughed so hard because he's like a delightfully destructive character. And I really resonated with that because he's like fun to have around. Like he's maybe too comfortable, you know? And I was like, oh, I could totally see that actually as a personification of my own personal anxiety. I laughed really hard. It was very funny. But I really see that like it feels much less of a teeter-totter for me and more of a just an a presence. You know, like it's always here and I'm always working with it. And when, you know, natural stressors increase, when chosen stressors, you know, the move was a chosen stressor, when those increase, it just becomes very present. Yeah. So anxiety is something I deal with. It used to be daily. In fact, I would say it ran my life for a while because I didn't know that it was happening, you know? Yeah.
I vividly remember, 'cause we both obviously struggle a lot with anxiety. And would
Yes.
often talk about, I think one of the big signs for us was that constant thought and worry that everyone we loved was gonna die, right? And
Yep.
I think that was so normal for both of us that when we talked about it, I was like, oh yeah, that's just like
Yeah.
normal. That's what everyone thinks all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Why isn't
then,
everyone planning for this?
And then I remember one time you were like, Aaron, your husband was like, that's not normal. And all of a sudden it was like, wait, what? Other people are walking around not thinking about this all day long?
Hold up, hold up. There are people that don't live with the thought that everyone they love will die at any given moment. No, you stop that. Really?
Think that just goes to show you how ingrained anxiety
Yeah.
can be for some of us that
Yeah.
we don't even recognize
Yeah.
that our thoughts are not healthy
Yeah.
and not of a healthy mind.
Yeah.
They're doing their job, right? I think that's the hard part about anxiety, is
Yes.
it truly is doing a job that it thinks is helpful
Yeah.
and best for us. It's trying so hard
Yeah.
to help us
Yeah.
that it gets so ingrained that until someone can like help you step outside of that and be like, this is not
Yeah.
how everyone thinks all the time. It's like it was such like a my mind was blown to be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
This isn't normal? This is anxiety?
Well, it kind of goes back to what you said, hashtag throwback. I think to our last, not the last episode that posted, but the one before that, where you said it can be really surprising to realize that parts of your personality are just mental unhealth.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, because I've heard a lot of research, and I think there is truth to this, that sometimes talk therapy can kind of wear out, not be
Sure.
super helpful. But there are parts of it that are incredibly helpful, which is just that exactly what you identified, this reflective piece of I have been, oh, it isn't normal to
Yeah.
worry and stress that everyone's going to die at any given moment. And that was such a helpful, reflective, just, and that just happened in natural relationship, right? Like we're just all
Sure.
hanging out. And it was, yeah, I really think about that a lot. And that had spurred several more conversations of just realizing how much of my brain space was taken up planning for future events that will really likely probably not happen.
Right.
And once I started doing that, and of course, we talked about this, like getting on the right meds for me, that was a huge, because I was producing way too much cortisol. Like it was just too much,
Yeah.
way too much. And got that under control, my brain space expanded massively.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh my gosh, I can retain so much information.
Wait, what? There's
Create.
space in here for other things?
This is wild. Yeah, is exactly right. Like how much space. Oh, I did see another little clip where a guy was like, my therapist was trying to reassure me and said that like 85% of what you worry about isn't going to happen. And he's like, 15% is going to happen. Laughed pretty hard. I thought that's a truly anxious
That
brain.
is so true.
Because then you're going to start over planning for that 15%. Like it's
Of
just
course.
he's just in a spiral and needs
Yeah.
some support.
Well, and I think even still to this day, like that's definitely a sign. Like I said, I think we all live with some level of depression, anxiety, all the feels, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I know I'm starting to get off balance when those, and we, throw back to mental health measures. When those thoughts are popping up all the time again, right? When you're constantly thinking the worst is going to happen all the time. I know for me, that's one of my kind of like signals, like, ooh, you might be
Yeah.
tipping the other way right now. Are there
Yeah.
other sort of like signs that you see that you know, like, oh, we're hitting.
Yeah, I think, for all those out there who this will be so identifiable if you struggle with anxiety, the anxiety you have about possibly having anxiety,
Oh, you gotta love it.
that's a fun one. I think so. If you're feeling that, like if you're feeling that, if you're listening and you're feeling that right now, I need you to get a therapist and start talking about some solutions because that is a very clear sign it's gone too far. Like stressing about the possibility of having stress and how that's going to feel on your body. Now we've gone anxiety inception and it's time to investigate what we need to do about it. I think that's a huge red flag for people listening. I think intrusive thoughts, if you are in what should be a beautiful moment, and all you can feel and see is intrusive thoughts, bam, red flag, time to get in treatment, trying to find solutions. And again, none of these have to be huge. Like, I think the really difficult part about anxiety is it's so easily hidden. Like,
Yeah.
we can, in fact, sometimes it makes us more successful at our jobs,
It
right?
100% does,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
And it's usually rewarded with more work and raises and really cool things. The problem is, it can so easily become out of control in our minds and our bodies and affect everything outside of work. So That's another, I think, telltale sign. If you cannot turn work off, like that's a big anxiety flag. That's a like a like a, I'm just picturing like toothpicks with little like red flags on them, and I'm like putting them up for, like for listeners, like red flag, red flag, red flag. I those are some, and those are kind of extreme examples, but the truth is, people could be listening to this and be like, oh my gosh, I've never realized that. And if that's the case, first of all, welcome to the club. We have definitely had that moment.
Welcome.
Welcome, my friends. I'm trying to think of other big, like big signs. There are smaller ones like withdrawing from your hobbies, withdrawing from loved ones.
One like smaller one that I'm just starting to kind of like recognize is the like inability to like even just watch a show. Like, and I think it's different for different age groups, but like scrolling on your phone, there are times in my life where I think it's healthy, and those are little like mental breaks that I take for myself, and then I'm like back to work. And but I for me, I'm starting to notice a red flag for my anxiety is when like I have one of my favorite shows on, or I'm having a nice night, and all I can do is just sit and mindlessly scroll on my phone and not even pay attention to something that like I've picked. You know, it's different if like your partner picks a show and you don't really care about it and you're scrolling or whatever. But like, no, I picked this show. I put it on, but like I'm still just mindless. There's something about scrolling that I think can easily tip into that. It's kind of this soothing thing for your anxiety.
Oh, I see. It's like a
It's
coping
like a
skill going
fidget.
too far. Yeah, I like that. But it's like, I like that you're being able to identify that that has to do with actually my anxiety is too high if I can't.
Right. Like there are healthy times I use it just to take a little break, like at work or whatever. But yeah, there's this tipping point I can recognize when it's like you're scrolling too much and you're not even like paying attention anymore. Like, well, obviously you're trying to fix something in your brain. So like let's stop and look at what is really going on.
I love that because it's kind of like hashtag throwback to like coping to care. You're having to cope too much. You can't even get to your care spot, That's great. I think that's extremely insightful too, because I definitely can recognize scrolling, and sometimes scrolling is so great. Man, it just is so nice to like, I'm overstimulated. I've had to hang out with too many people. I just want to chill out. But I will say I scrolled so much in the first couple weeks of being, and it was because my mind and body did not know what to do and they were not doing well. Yeah, I think that's a very great identified measure. And I identify with that with my anxiety as well. Yeah, for sure.
That is why, I mean, it's all hard, but because I just am so frustrated right now with anxiety because it takes those things and uses them against us. Do you know what I mean? Those are good tool. Like worrying about the future is a good tool, right? Self-soothing with some scrolling occasionally is a good tool to have. And it
Absolutely.
takes these things when your mind is not healthy and well and turns them all against you because it's anxiety.
She, I just rewatched the Harry Potter series, and the one where they are, Hermione goes to like a dinner date with the really creepy guy. And he's like, oh, she's a slippery little minx, because she's like avoiding him the whole party. That's what I feel like anxiety is. Ooh, she's a slippery little minx. She's crafty. And you're so right. And I think that is a really deep frustration with anxiety is its ability to kind of manipulate and flip healthy things. It is also like when you are worried about that happening, that's kind of one of those red flags that I was kind of like joking about with like the Inception, it was like you're worried about now anxiety on anxiety on anxiety. So yeah, I think you've definitely labeled that so beautifully. I
When it,
do. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
it's on that spectrum, right? Like some anxiety is good. I think for me, I knew like when it's time to either start looking at meds or get back into some serious therapy is when I don't have control of these things. I because I've done my work, right? I can recognize them, but I don't feel like I can control the anxiety anymore. That for me immediately is that okay, we've gone too far and it's time to get some tools out, right? It's not like, oh, I just scrolled too much tonight. Obviously, I need to talk through whatever is going on and figure that out, but like the true, like I don't feel like I control what's going on anymore. That's when it's like, okay, back to my counselor,
Hell yeah.
maybe some meds.
Hell yeah.
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 That kind of tipping point.
It's so interesting because I think for me, mine, and I hope listeners hear this and are encouraged. I lived so long with an overproduction of cortisol and literally was in fight or flight for years that it took 3 years of medicated treatment, the same medication, consistency, healthy attachment to get me to a point where I was able to have like brain space. So it wasn't immediate. I will say this, that 3 years, that wasn't difficult. Like the beginning of the treatment was relief. Like, so I hope when people are hearing this, they're like, oh my gosh, it took 3 years to get relief. No, absolutely not. That relief happened and it was such a powerful gift to have my body and mind be able to relax at the same time. I don't think I had really ever felt that. So I think what I really want people to hear is absolutely it's a balancing act now, and I'm aware of my mental health measures, but the relief was quick. Like it was, yeah. And it becomes, it is to me, it wasn't a huge struggle once I realized what the issue was. Treatment became super, I don't want to say easy, but it became more simple each time because I was able to reflect and start to realize, like, because I think there's a huge part of it that ties to a really religious upbringing of this like perceived prophecy, right? Like, I feel like something bad is going to happen. Well, that is probably some kind of God telling me that that's going to happen, and I need to prepare or do something magical to protect those around me, right? Like this deep magical thinking, and that takes a lot of time to undo, like a lot.
Because the pill's not going to do that, right? A med's not going to undo that for you. It's going to give you the like the physical calming peace you need to then go do that work.
That's exactly right. And so it just gives you a less trauma-soaked brain to do your work in. And it, boy, howdy, guys, if you struggle deeply with anxiety, like if what we're talking about is you're like, oh, that's me on a daily basis, first of all, A, I support you. And
We
B,
see you. We
we
see you.
so much and honor you. Oh my gosh. I honestly don't know how parents do it because I worry about my animals all the time and they did not come from my womb.
No.
Like, I can't even imagine what it is like to be a mom or a dad. Like, so I'm hoping that everyone is able to hear this and feel encouraged that there is support and treatment for anxiety, and there is a life for you where it doesn't rule your life. So.
Right? And I and again, because anxiety is such a little biatch,
Biatch.
I think that I was also afraid. Once I recognized this and was like on the meds and ready to do the work,
Love
I
this.
got afraid that like I wouldn't be me if I didn't have, right? It was like so ingrained. And I'm so type A and such a people pleaser. And like the idea of not having anxiety is like, well, then I'm not going to be me anymore. And
Interesting.
like, what am I going to do? Like,
Yeah.
it was terrifying to think. And so for a while, I thought, well, maybe I don't want to do this work because I don't, that's who I am.
Yeah.
I am this amazing person that I am, that
You
everyone says I am because of my anxiety and my need to take care and please everyone, right? So for
Wow.
me, it was this really intense, like, if I do this work, I'm literally going to lose myself.
Wow.
And I say that because if you are thinking that, I want to tell you that's not true.
Good for you.
You
Yeah.
won't lose yourself. I am still the same me. I'm still
Hell
type
yeah.
A. I'm still a people pleaser, but I'm more balanced with it, right? And what I think, and it takes time, but you'll figure out what you like and think on your own as well.
Yeah.
But like, I just want to tell people if you're that kind of far into it, like I was, know that you still won't lose the person you are
Yeah.
by doing the work.
Oh man, I love that. I think that message is exceptionally strong too for social servants. Like, worried that I'll lose my ability to serve. And no, this will make you better at serving people. It will you a happy you is a good you. Like, yeah. And I'm really glad you touched on that. And it's not a part of my journey that I can really identify with. So I'm glad that you said that because I know that there are people that are like, that is echoing with strongly, that's really powerful. I've never thought about it from that perspective of like worrying.
And like we said, all of this runs together, right? This is all one giant tapestry. It's all back to those core wounds.
Yeah.
Like you're not good enough, which then tell, you know, then anxiety gets into overdrive. Okay, well then I have to be perfect to even try to be close to good enough, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that without anxiety because you have to try to guess what
Yeah.
everyone is thinking and feeling and wants from you. So if you're doing that, right,
Yeah.
in grade school, like, of course, by the time I'm a young adult in my 20s or whatever, like, to try and then find yourself is crazy. But
Yeah.
you will.
Yeah. I like that you talked about too, like there is a strength-based element to anxiety. There is a reason biologically we have anxiety, like, and it really is because like there is that motivating factor to get us off our buns and to get us planning and participating and keeping us in relationship. Like it's a pro-social thing to care about what other people think of you. It is an antisocial thing to read way too far into it. You know what I mean? Again, it's just that perfect balance. I think for me, what was really hard is my anxiety had taken over so much that if someone had told me, like 8 years ago, even be more than that now, but like 10 years ago that anxiety was a positive thing and it was going to be a helpful tool, I'd have been like, fuck you. I hate you. You're the fucking worst. You know what I mean? Like that very visceral reaction because it had ruled so much. So I really had to kind of, I think I for me visually, and I do love the second Inside Out where anxiety has like a place in, has like a seat at the table. I think for me, I'm not sure if other people would identify with this, but I would say that that is not true for me. Like that anxiety will never have a positive place at the table because it had wrecked my life so much. But I would say maybe I would look at like renaming that character as like energy or proactive or something different, just because like there is no element of me planning for the future that I have done with anxiety that's been positive. And I'm not, I know that may be splitting hairs and be, but I am sure that there's someone listening to this that like can resonate with that, because it wrecked me for a really long time. And so now, to me, and I have tried to work and flip that narrative to like harness that anxious energy for something positive. And I haven't found a way to do that successfully. I think I have found more success in just saying like, no, anxiety, you don't have a place in my life anymore. Like, you know, you really, your energy is not wanted here. Like, just no, thank you. And in that kind of, and I think it is different for different people, but I think for me, that has been a much, easier platform going forward. So, but I think for everybody it's different, right? Like maybe if your primary struggle is depression, you kind of need that anxiety boost to get you to where you need to be and like feel it more like a balance. But for me, and again, everyone is different. So I encourage people to like find a therapist, talk to people about how you're feeling, you know, like have that inner circle where you can start to build a narrative around your feelings that you can have agency over, right? Like, such a beautiful thing. Having agency over parts of your feelings and your body is, that's what I want for everybody.
I love that. And it's so different than my perspective, which I also love, right? That we are all so different, and like I never want anxiety to leave. I just want to manage it. Like I find it super beneficial in my life, and I am a planner, and I do like I've got my advanced directives and I know what's going on, and I have all these like things planned out for the future that are super beneficial to me. And I think some level of worrying when it's managed is so helpful for me to not throw me way off balance when crazy things do happen. 'Cause like, oh no, I have a plan for this. I can handle it. So it's so interesting to hear someone that like just truly does not want any level of anxiety anywhere near them. I'm like, wait, what? But
Yeah. No,
I
I
love that
want.
you know that about you.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because well, a lot of the advanced directive planning is because you're awesome and made me do it, which is so good, FYI, and great and healthy. And I'm so grateful for that. But like, you know, it's interesting because I'm not a planner, right? Like, you know, so there's a part of it that's like there's some drive and energy force, you know. Maybe it's because like maybe it's more of like my creative force. I'm not quite sure. I'll have to do a lot of thinking about that. But yeah, definitely there's a certain anxiety. I'm very familiar with that feeling, and it's no, no, thank you.
Well, and I do think a lot of it, because again, for me, completely ties all of it always comes back to core wounds for me. And like, I have to remember, like, I did my core wound work a long time ago. So, like, I'm at a different place. And if your anxiety is that tied to your core wounds, like, you just recently started doing core wound kind of thought process. So, I wonder. You know, it's like, yeah, you don't want anxiety as you know it in your life right now. And that's awesome. I love that. And I wonder if that will change as you grow. And maybe, like you said, to me, like language is everything. So maybe it's not. Maybe there is a different word for that positive energy that you have around it. You gotta like name it something. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think too, it's, I think we're touching on a good point where it's really important that people have agency over their narrative building of their like experiences. You know what I mean? Because I think once you start looking inward and really analyzing and putting time and energy into really yourself and your mental well-being, that's when you can start to like I don't like the word control, but you can start taking agency
Ooh,
over
okay.
pieces of, of yourself. And I think that's a really empowering notion to be able to pick and choose how you are able to react in situations, how you are, it really is, it's a really great place to be and explore.
Yeah.
I'm excited for our listeners really to get those pieces. And my goodness, if you guys are on this journey, or if what we're talking about is resonating, reach out. I would love to hear that.
I'd love to hear people's little anxiety stories.
Oh yeah. And I know you got them, guys.
Oh.
That's amazing. That's so awesome. Well, I think that's a good entry episode to anxiety and like our, reflections on it personally. I don't know. Do you have any extra thoughts?
No, I think, I hope, not I think, I hope that if people like any of this is resonating with people, that like you feel seen and like heard and understood and loved, and like we totally support you taking that next step,
That's
whatever
right.
that looks like for you.
I love that.
To get your, if your anxiety is way out of whack, to like help get that back to a positive place for you, and know that it's normal.
Oh, so normal, guys. Probably way too normalized
Too
in our
normal. That's
society.
exactly right. It's too normal.
Too normal, too accepted. We gotta get to, you don't have to live that way. Yeah,
Yes.
it's
Yeah.
just not fair. And I think, I don't know what it is biologically. And again, I could just be like, I talk about this, as, I'm looking through my lady lens, like, but I feel like for women, we really struggle too long and too hard with anxiety. Like,
Yeah.
and I'm not sure, I'm sure there's like evolutionary biological pieces to that. And certainly social influence, I think, has a
Well,
huge amount to do with that. But
we literally have to like keep the species going. I mean, that's anxiety producing enough.
oh God, that's a great, there you go. That's a great point. Oh my gosh, 100%. Literally our job to keep the species going. We've maybe done it too well. We're a bit
Well, I
overpopulated.
think think maybe we can all calm down about that a
We've done a really good job. We do a great job. That's what I will say. Strength based. We are good at what we do. So,
Well, and if, I mean, yes, right, of course. Anxiety, obviously, at its right, if you totally break it down, is that survival piece, right? Of course, evolutionary wise, it had its role. It literally was to keep us alive.
That's
We
right.
are no longer fighting for like our true survival in the wilderness anymore. You know, we don't need to look for cheetahs or saber-toothed tigers anymore.
That's right.
But so we take the other things in our world and blow them out of proportion for survival, which we just don't need to do anymore.
I've been very recently intrigued by this concept of how do we evolutionarily evolve from that, and what does that look like? What are tips and tools, not just to survive with really positive mental health, but really kind of pursue this idea of enlightenment, right? Of moving beyond what our biology has naturally gifted us. And yeah, I've been really, as I'm relaxing and getting back to like pursuing things that I'm in general interest of, that has been one of the most recent ones, is like, man, how do we truly thrive beyond what biology has gifted us? So I'm sure we can do episodes on that in the future, because I'm genuinely curious about that going forward.
You can love it. I can't wait for that.
I know. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do that one. I think we should stay. Maybe our next episode will be talking about active treatment. Like, what do we do with anxiety? Like, what have we learned, our tips and tools that we actively use?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that'll make sense because we've talked a lot about
What
it's
it is and
here.
how to recognize it. Now
Yeah.
let's talk about what do you do with anxiety and depression?
Oh, yeah.
Now you've named it. It's got a name tag. You've invited it. Well, you didn't invite it in, but it was already
It's
here.
there.
Like, it's overstayed its welcome. Now, how do we politely ask it to go? Okay, I love this.
It's the relatives that you're hoping will leave. I'm just kidding. I actually love my relatives quite a bit.
Oh.
Well, on that note, let's wrap this episode. Thank you for listening. Reach out if this resonated with you or if you have questions or
Yep.
ideas. To friends dot one chat at gmail.com.
Yep.
You can reach us on the website too, which is just twofriendsonechat.com.
Yep.
Instagram, Facebook, you name it, find us, reach
Yeah.
out.
I look at those often, so you're welcome to message on either of those if that's the platform you prefer. But
Yeah.
yes, please reach out to share, to ask questions. I mean, we can't legitimately offer you therapy, but we're happy to answer questions and get you
Hell yeah.
headed in the right direction.
We'll get you connected. We'll do what we got to do because I'm just really grateful that you
Yeah.
are trying out different tools for your mental health. This is great.
Yes, I love it. You
I
guys
love
are crushing it.
it. Crushing it. Okay. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.